You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone who has been participating in the flurry of texts on our text lines from the last hour. I have been attacking with vigor and I hope clarity the insanity that is the Republican budget reconciliation and tax plan that was passed in the wee small hours of the morning last night by the House Ways and Means Committee. Make no mistake, everyone, while Republicans are screaming and yelling and flailing their arms about like wokeism and CRT and we got to audit Harvard and cut their funding and rah, all this nonsense, dividing us using our most base, lowest instincts, they're busy stealing from the middle class. I don't have any other word for it. Stealing from the middle class, gutting things like emergency food assistance, SNAP, Medicaid, that help keep tens of millions of Americans alive with food in their bellies. They're stealing. They got their hand in your pocket. Pay it. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain, please. Because if people actually understood what has gone on, there would be even more tens of thousands of people in the street. We have legalized corruption in this country dating back to 1976 in the decision Buckley v. Vallejo. The Supreme Court last year said, yeah, bribing government officials is fine as long as it's just a gratuity that happens after the fact. 2010, Citizens United. Yes, money is speech. Corporations are people. Which means every middle-class person, we're just whispering, whisper, whisper, whisper. While billionaires command the world's largest communication platforms and can flood politicians with soft money, they scream when we just whisper. And one of the most immediate results of that is that small businesses get hurt badly. And Trump's tariff terror has been just that for businesses on Main Street. We're going to talk about the reasons why with my next very special guest. His name is Richard Trent. He is the executive director of Main Street Alliance. Richard, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. What an important topic. So let's start with the obvious question. Trump takes the Chinese tariff from 145 down to 30. It's still a dark and desperate time for so many small businesses, is it not?
It absolutely is. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go ahead, Richard.
So the thing that we're not talking about enough is the fact that even if you were one of the small businesses that actually stood to benefit from the tariffs, and this is a very small sliver of American companies that would stand to benefit from this tariff policy. No one benefits from an administration of chaos and uncertainty. If you're a small business owner, the average small business owner, 50% of small business owners in this country are operating on a month of working capital. You need to have the peace of mind and the clarity to say, okay, in quarter three, I'm going to hire XYZ staff. By the end of the year, this is how we're going to be cash flowing. No company in America is capable of operating with that level of clarity because of how haphazardly the Trump administration has moved forward with this tariff imposition. So I mean, yes, it's very, very clear that the tariffs are still high, right? Like, oh, 145 or 135 down to 30. That's still a huge problem for small businesses. But all small businesses are still suffering from this blanket uncertainty.
Well, and it's not just the 30, right? What people don't realize is that there's the fentanyl tariff, there's this, there's the baseline tariff, then there's the 30%, and you add them all up, and it's still the highest tariff level. I don't care if you're talking about China, Canada, Mexico, our partners in the EU. By the way, we haven't seen any actual results from the pseudo plan with the UK. We're still at the highest levels, tariff levels, that our country has seen basically since the 40s. And Richard, let's dig in here. What people don't understand is that these tariffs actually, with the chaos, will end up potentially benefiting what I'm going to call mega corporations, simply because they have the ability, because of the economies of scale, one, they have massive bargaining power when they're bargaining with suppliers to drive down their baseline supply costs before the tariff is even applied. The tariff, of course, on a percentage basis, multiplying the impact, the effectiveness of their ability to bargain down that input cost. Two, they have much bigger cash flows. Again, the economies of scale. They have larger margins that they're able to extract. And even when their margins get really, really razor thin, as long as you're still creating a profit, yeah, you can make that up on volume. Am I getting this right, Richard? It's like this double whammy for small businesses. One, it can crush the business. Two, they can't plan. And three, if they were able to compete with some of these mega corporations, think Amazon, Walmart, etc., they ain't able to now.
Yeah, this is a really smart point that I wish more Democrats in Congress would harp on, which is that you can boil down the Trump approach to economic planning over the last 3 months to insiders win, outsiders lose.
Yes.
Anybody that's in the inner circle of Trump, the tech CEOs that were on the dais at inauguration, everybody that has access to what he's going to tweet about tariffs the day before he actually tweets it, all of those people stand to benefit from this environment of chaos and uncertainty. They're chaos entrepreneurs, and you're absolutely right that it's the large corporations of the world that have the coffers chock full of cash, basically, to weather the economic uncertainty that will inevitably put a great deal of small businesses across the country out of business. And it's a really, really good point to make, but it's indicative of just how Trump and his inner circle think about these matters. It's not a matter of connecting empathetically with Americans and meeting them where they are and figuring out where their struggles are. I mean, think about it. There's a world where he could have crafted a tariff policy that makes some bit of sense.
Super targeted. Yep.
That makes some sense, right? Like, it could have been super targeted, focused on something with national security or an underinvest, but he didn't do that. He didn't talk to small business owners from across the country. He didn't hear how 145% tariff or 135% tariffs on China would decimate the bottom line for thousands of businesses across the country. He didn't ask. He just didn't talk to anybody, because this administration doesn't care about the struggles of working class families. And it's up to shows like this, to organizations like Main Street Alliance, to the Main Street Alliance members that have been speaking up in the face of all this chaos. It's up to us to make sure that folks understand people are out there fighting for you. People out there still care about working families. People are still fighting to make Main Street vibrant.
Yeah, Richard, I'm with you every step of the way here, because there's nothing more offensive to me than hearing a Ron Johnson or any conservative get up and say, like, I'm pro small business. Then why are you killing them? I don't care if we're talking about the ability to literally lobby for your exemption because you can donate massive sums of money to the president's inauguration, or you just have that kind of largesse and access. It's beyond just the negotiating sort of pay-to-play element of the exemptions from tariffs, which have been given to big time donors and the president's favorite corporations or corporate CEOs. It's beyond that. It's, again, the margins are smaller for smaller businesses. They rely more on imports from cheap exporting countries like China, right? That's how a lot of small businesses have to make their business work. You take that out, the business simply goes away. They cannot make it work. The relative cost impacts, again, the limited supply chain options. They don't have the ability to move to a different input goods supplier, right? All of these things combined. And I keep telling people, you are going to see a wave of small business bankruptcies. When the U.S. Chamber of Commerce sends their director into the Oval Office to beg the president to relent on small businesses, and he's like, meh, 68 million Americans work in small businesses. That's almost the number of people that voted for him. You know, like, I just, this one is so off the charts, bad for small businesses. And I don't think people have yet figured out these moves that he's making to try to ratchet it back is because the people with access and whom he perceives as his target audience were saying to him, you're about to burn your supporters. But it's not, it may be very much too little, very much too late to save a lot of small businesses. I mean, even calculating, well, how much is this input actually going to cost me? I've looked at those tariff, basically like balance sheets when you got to come in on the importers, and it's, you got five different line items and you add them up and it's, oh, the $100 product or the $10,000 if you're buying at scale is now $180,000. I mean, it's just, it's so mind boggling. Richard, if you can speak to the folks that are listening right now and you want them to know something so that the next time they're having a conversation with Uncle Larry or hanging out in the grocery store in line with Susie from down the street, what do you want them to say to the Trump voter who says they are also supportive of small businesses?
I think the important thing to communicate is that small business owners, since early April, when the first bit of tariffs went into effect, they've been registering this moment as an existential crisis on par with COVID, right? Where it was, yes, like mass extinction event, like this could spell the end for so many small businesses. And so we've been getting at Main Street Alliance countless emails from just scared entrepreneurs, people who built businesses because their communities needed a service and they supplied it. And these are the brave voices that have been fighting back in the face of all this chaos. Today I was on the Hill here in DC with Julie Robbins, who runs a company in Ohio that makes guitar equipment and pedals. And she said very clearly to Joni Ernst, who runs the Senate Small Business Committee, that tariffs are not helping small business owners. It's looting Main Street and making it so that Main Streets are a Dollar Tree here, a Walmart there, and that's it. And so the thing that we need to communicate to our MAGA supporting relatives and friends and lovers is like, this is a war for a vision for America, mm-hmm. right? Do you want to live in a world where your main strip, your main street in your town is Target, Walmart, and nothing else because the mom and pop store can't survive? Or do you want to live in a world where small business owners stand up and fight for a Main Street that's vibrant and that's responsive to community need?
Folks, that's Richard Trent, Executive Director of the Main Street Alliance. He's coming back with me on the other side. Are we staring down the double barrel of a tipping point where small businesses start filing for bankruptcy, but there is no food aid, fewer people have Medicaid, and we're all sicker? What happens when all of these things reach a head at the same time? We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My big, big, big thanks. I hope we can get him back. Had a little connectivity problem. Big thanks to Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance, a national advocacy organization for small businesses. The Trump tariff tax terror will kill small businesses. It'll kill small businesses in your community. And consider this, everyone, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as I often say, the top 1% of companies in this country, what I'm going to refer to as mega corporations, take down 80% of corporate revenues. Okay? We see what I'm going to call revenue inequality in business America, just like we see grotesque income and wealth inequality for us regular people. The top 1% of corporations in this country take down 80% of business revenues. That's why the Trump tariff terror, along with the small margins, the inability to negotiate at scale because you have less bargaining power, on and on and on. This is bad for small businesses. When it's bad for small businesses, it's bad for the 68 million Americans that work in small businesses. We're going to see bankruptcies. And at the same time, these tariffs are driving prices up for the rest of us on our regular goods. Remember, 70% of U.S. GDP is driven by consumer spending. That means us middle class folks, because trust me, the law of diminishing marginal returns for the top 1% mean they're not buying the 100th Rolls Royce. They're good with three. So they spend less. That GDP, our economic engine of this country, is the middle class. So as small businesses are being actively hurt every day by the Trump tariff terror of taxes, meanwhile, the fat cats and the mega corporations are doing better. And on Capitol Hill today, as my guest Richard Trent knows, the House Ways and Means Committee passing the largest gutting of Medicaid and food emergency assistance in American history, while at the same time giving their stamp of approval to the largest tax cut in American history for the wealthiest of wealthy among us, the top 1%. So, Richard, let me ask you, are we looking at quite a crisis tipping point where some of the very things that help the people at greatest risk of housing insecurity, food insecurity, joblessness, all those programs being gutted before our eyes while small businesses are under attack and the middle class being asked to pay more and more for less and less? What happens next?
Again, we have to pay attention to what Trump has been saying all along. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers, right? This is an administration that is comfortable with creating a class of losers as they understand it. And they're crafting policies to execute that vision. We're talking about, I've seen numbers between 8 and 20 million Americans that are going to lose their Medicaid coverage. One thing we haven't been talking enough about with Medicaid coverage, GOP and Republican congressional leaders are the first to talk about our fentanyl crisis, but they never talk about the fact that fentanyl treatment and recovery, a lot of that is covered by Medicaid services. So when you're gutting Medicaid to the tune that they're talking about, you're also talking about hundreds of thousands of Americans not being able to access the fentanyl, recovery.
The treatment and recovery they need, yes.
It's absolutely unbelievable. So there's the Medicaid piece. There's the SNAP program and the food assistance, right?
Yes.
There's the tax code, which is kind of a part of it, where they are not even considering raising taxes on the wealthy. They're considering extending a tax code that gives 80%+ of the tax benefit to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there.
No, you did not. I was just explaining that. Yes.
In this current tax code, and the one that they're trying to extend and add a couple more doodads onto it, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners. So if you were not in that, if you're not in that top 1%, this tax code is a raw deal for you. We're talking about not expanding the child tax credit, which cut child poverty in half just a few years ago. We're talking about not extending the premium tax credits, which have kept health insurance premiums somewhat affordable on the Obamacare exchanges at the state level. Those are about to expire. So older working families in this country can expect their health insurance premiums to jump up to, on average, $17,000 a year if this stuff is allowed to expire. This is not a game. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
Richard, it's as if you and I were mind-melding for the entire first hour of my show. I just went through what I call the CBO's distributional analysis, which is the fancy economist talk for who benefits the most and who gets hurt the most from this tax corporate billionaire giveaway, which is what this is. To repeat, ladies and gentlemen, the top 1% will take down 80% of the benefit of this tax giveaway to the wealthiest. Why do billionaires need to be taxless? They don't. They have all the stuff they could possibly ever want. And none of this wealth has ever trickled down to any of us. $51 trillion from the bottom 90% to the top 1% from 1981 to 2021. And folks, if you're in the bottom 20%, guess what this tax quote cut will do for you? It will reduce your income on average by over $1,000 a year for the poorest working folks in our communities. I didn't say this. Senator Josh Hawley said it. It is immoral. Get activated. This is not a test anymore. This is the real deal. The alarms are all on high. The red lights are on. Call your congresspeople. Say no. Thank you so much, Richard Trent, Executive Director of the Main Street Alliance. Cannot wait to have you back. This great discussion continues on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thing you remember, but it's a thing you have to remember. $51 trillion. That's the amount of wealth that the top 1% has stolen from the bottom 90% from 1981 to 2021. Shameful, and Republicans, the MAGAs in Congress just want to make it worse. We've been talking about that all hour. I think I'm going to do this frequently because it's this bad. This is not a drill. We've got to get this right. Your input, your discussion, welcome. We're then going to turn. I want to give everybody on the lines a chance to get their two cents. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Then we're going to turn to some of the craziness that's happening in the congressional hearings today. Did you hear Pocan decimate RFK, or at least make him admit that he would vaccinate his kids? Today, we're going to get to all that. Christy Noem, Ice Barbie, not having a good day in Congress. We're going to get to all that. But your comments before we close out today's lengthy discussion of income, wealth, inequality, and why the Trump administration does not care about you unless you can cut a major donor check, unless your household income is well above $500,000 a year, why the package that the House Ways and Means Committee approved last night will only make the screwing of the middle class and the working poor so much worse. The top 1% will take 80% of the benefit of the tax cuts, and the poorest among us, the working poor in this country, will actually see their real take-home incomes go down. If you want to know how a tax cut actually makes the take-home income of the poorest working folks around us and in our communities go down, it's because they're getting rid of all of the tax incentives that actually work for middle-class families, like the child tax credit, like the state and local tax credit. Like the insurance, the medical insurance premium tax credit. They're doing this while they're gutting Medicaid, the biggest cut ever conceived in the history of the United States to Medicaid, the biggest cut to emergency food assistance programs. It is immoral. That is not per me. That is not per Maggie. That is according to Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican who said that from Missouri. Jack from Merrimack, thank you so much for your patience, sir. What do you got for us this afternoon?
Thank you, Maggie. Three things. First of all, I ask conservatives, how much is enough? And I never really get a straight answer. Mostly the answer is, but they earned it. But we know that's often not. It's generational. Or in a lot of cases now, earned by avoiding taxes on so-called unrealized income, which, of course, is real money. And of course, it avoids taxes on inheritance, unless it's actually taken out of the investments, too, if I understand this right.
Yes.
Secondly, we can solve the deficit. Now, I don't have a source on this anymore, but I've read, and you like the statistics, I've read that a graduated wealth tax starting at 2% on those with $30 million and going up to 5% for billionaires would raise about $2 trillion, and that's enough to remove the deficit and strongly start paying down the debt. And you, those folks, they're not going to see any change in their lifestyle. Give me a break.
Jack, I love this one. Because Trump has said that, I've heard this one, like, if it's not trickle down, it's they earned it, even though that's really not true. And even if it is true, then tax the dollar earned from wealth just like you tax the dollar earned from work, since they're both earned. One's actually earned through work. The other one's earned by sitting on your butt. But the next thing that you often hear from conservatives, oh my gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. It's not trickle down. It's the, they earned it. Oh, and some of the estate tax piece of it is always so befuddling to me. We have the lowest estate tax rate, and it only applies to dollars over $27 million. And I get to the place that you do, Jack, where it's like, well, if they can leave $1 trillion to their heirs, do we get to tax the trillion and first dollar at 100%? Like, where is the enough is enough? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And you had a third point. Yep. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. Finally, we can't lose sight of this. I don't believe the MAGA party can keep anything like a congressional majority in 2026 if there's a legitimate election. And I am convinced the next election will either be canceled for some spurious reason, or that it'll be rigged with things like the so-called SAVE Act, my opinion. It stands for Suppress Americans' Voting Eligibility.
Yes, it does.
So that enough of us will be disenfranchised, there won't even be a real election. We've got to watch out for this and stop it if we can. And that's my real concern at this point.
Yeah, I hear you, Jack. It is dangerous times these. Dan from Wausau on the text line from WAUK saying they can't compete in the long run unless the rules are changed for fairness. He's talking about small businesses, not creating for exploding wealth for mega corporations and the ultra, ultra, ultra wealthy. I agree with you 110%. Dan, Steve from Milwaukee chiming in. Thank you so much. Patrick from the 608. I see you, brother. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ollie from the Northwoods, you've been very patient. Thank you. What do you got for us?
Well, I have 3 points to that I think every listener should know about today. One is, while Trump takes food out of our kids' and poor and elderly's pocket, he's in the Middle East at a banquet. And while he takes money from our pockets, he's in the Middle East lining his pocket. Mm. And small businesses are suffering while big CEOs travel with Trump to the Middle East to get favors for themselves and their businesses. People need to speak, pay attention, and speak out.
Amen, Ali, from your lips to every listener's ears. Speak up. Now is the time. This is not a drill. It matters. He is robbing you blind. He does not care about you. What he wants you to be distracted by is all of the culture war stuff so that you aren't actually looking at the Congressional Budget Office's nonpartisan distributional analysis, which shows that everything that they're doing in Congress is benefiting the wealthiest among us while screwing everybody else. Yes, the economic anxiety that the Trump voter felt this past year was in good faith. That is a true thing. He just directed their anxiety and fear at who? I mean, this is the thing that boggles the mind. The dear Trump voter, do you really think that the reason you feel such economic fear is because it's women, black folks, the gays, and the immigrants that have been screwing your family out of their economic security? Those are the people that have their boot on your neck? Or, if we're being honest here, is it more likely that it's the kleptocracy, that it's the billionaires and the 100 millionaires, that it's our corporate overlords? Which one, if you're being honest, is more likely? Hint, it's the freaking billionaire class. The tax the rich. The rich need to pay their fair share. I'm sick of it. Dale from Wausau, thanks for waiting, sir. What you got for us?
Oh, thanks, Maggie. This trickle-down theory is just another of thousands of lies by Republicans. We all have to vote in any elections, from local to state to federal elections. That is the only way that we can get rid of, vote out this inhumane Republican filth and what they are doing. And our country is just going down the drain here with Republicans. It's just frightening. It's inhumane.
I couldn't agree with you more. Vote, vote, vote. Call them, call them, call them. Call your congresspeople. We're going to have every single congressperson's phone number in our show notes for today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. Or if you subscribe to my show on Apple Pods or Spotify, you can see our show notes there as well. L.A. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're up next. What you got for us?
Hey, Maggie. First, that $51 trillion that you were talking about, you remember this too. 51 million jobs have actually been created since Bill Clinton, and 50 million were created by Democrats, and 1 million were created by Republicans. So that also can go along with your 51 that you have there. Everyone, make sure you go to 5 calls on your app, on your Apple app, and your other phone.
The Androids, yes. Go get the 5 calls. Download the app so that you can easily and efficiently call your congresspeople every day to say no to the giveaways to the ultra wealthy and mega corporations. Did you want to say anything else, Tom, before I let you go?
You know what? I just want to say that we need to distinguish the difference between small business, because that's what the Republicans try to do when they talk about small business. They're not talking about mom and pop independent retailers. And last, I think we all need to follow FDR's playbook, since Donald Trump is following Hitler's playbook.
Mm. Deep thoughts from L.A. Tom. You take care of yourself out there, brother. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. You want to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Conservatives, women, vets, and first-time callers go to the front of the line. Let's take some of the sound from the hearings today, because, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. This almost needs no introduction. This is Congressman Mark Pocan of this, our great state of Wisconsin, asking RFK Jr. about the measles vaccine. Let's take a listen.
Something that might be helpful is, you've previously said you've vaccinated your children. Just because I think this is a helpful answer, and this isn't a gotcha, I promise. If you had a child today, would you vaccinate that child for measles?
For measles? Probably for measles. What I would say is, my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant. I have directed Jay Bhattacharya.
Sure. No, like I said, I don't want to.
So that everybody can make that decision. But I don't want to seem like I'm being evasive.
Yeah.
But I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice from me.
Right. No, I got that. And I'm not asking you to give the medical advice, but would you vaccinate your child for measles?
If I answer that question directly, that it will seem like I'm giving advice to other people, and I don't want to be doing that. I want people to make
But that's kind of your jurisdiction, because CDC does give advice, right?
I'm not trying to do as a gotcha. I just kinda, oh, my God. Let's recap here. Quote, my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant. Don't take medical advice to me. Don't take medical advice from me. It's not my job to give medical advice. Pocan's response, yes, that's literally your job as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. You cannot make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. If it wasn't so dangerous, it would be downright comedic every day. But it is existential. How long's cut 22? Because I want to get to the gnome. Oh, that one's the super long one. All right. We're going to set this up. We're going to take it when we come back, because Christy Gnome... Gnome one's home? It's bad. We're going to take that sound when we get back. Oh! And you know that little problem where Congress people basically engage in insider trading on companies because they have access to privileged information because they sit on these congressional committees, and basically all Americans think we should make that illegal? I'll give you one guess. Which congressman doesn't think that should be illegal because, Congress people haven't gotten a raise in a while? I'm going to drop that sound on you next. Don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in the last segment of this hump day afternoon installment of The Maggie Dawn Show. We've been talking about economic inequality for most of the show, touching on some of the congressional hearings today. But let's start with this. Do you know that Congress people can own stocks even if they have access to otherwise privileged and private information by virtue of the fact that they're in Congress and sit on these congressional committees that oversee these things and they have access to enforcement materials, etc.? Well, the vast majority of people in the American public have thought that this is an abomination. It's corruption. We have so much of it anyways, we should make this illegal. Well, there's one congressperson that says no. His name is Speaker Mike Johnson. Let's take a listen to what he said yesterday when he was asked about this very thing.
Some tragic circumstances are at bay. I'd like to switch gears.
Oh, no, this is not 24. I'm looking at the Mike Johnson cut. This is cut 21.
Well, look, you know, the salary of Congress has been frozen since 2009. You know, when you adjust for inflation, a member of Congress today is making 31% less than they made in that year. It goes down every year. And over time, if you stay on this trajectory, you're going to have less qualified people who are willing to make the extreme sacrifice to run for Congress. I mean, it's just people just make a reasonable decision as a family on whether or not they can come and move to Washington, have a residence here, a residence at home, and do all the things that are required. So the counter argument is, and I have some sympathy, look, at least let them like engage in some stock trading so that they can continue to, you know, take care of their family.
At least let them have a little bit of corruption, you know. Because it's such a sacrifice to be in Congress. Are you friggin' kidding me? If that's... Democrats, clip that, run that all day long in your ads. That's who the MAGA cult is. Are you kidding me? Unacceptable. And elsewhere on Capitol Hill, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christy Gnome has no idea what the Constitution actually says, even though the Supreme Court told her already once, very, very clearly. This is cut 23.
To follow this MS-13, court order.
By the way, he identified
Madam Secretary,
himself.
I reclaim my time. Stop filibustering. Stop filibustering.
By gang members of MS-13.
Will you give Mr. Abrego Garcia the due process that the Supreme Court
and Judge Wilkinson has required you to give him.
Rego Garcia is an El Salvador resident who is in his home country. If he were to come back to this country, he would be immediately removed again.
How do you know?
He has received and been treated appropriately,
so he,
sir, and he is not.
How can you
this
say he's been
anymore.
Treated appropriately if the Supreme Court has ruled 9-0, 9-0 that he hasn't been treated appropriately? Why is your opinion better?
We had
and have judges, more authority than the Supreme Court.
Investigators, two judges, an immigration court that all said he was MS-13.
No, they
and
didn't.
Was removed to the, from this
but,
country.
But you understand that is you saying that. That is you saying that.
That is them saying that. This
no,
is
no, no, no.
And law
that
enforcement
is you making that
in the
determination.
Case they built against him. If you don't
the
trust
court
our law
has considered all that. The judge has considered all that, Madam
and
Secretary.
I just like, oh my God, did you hear what you. If you don't trust law enforcement, well, then why do we even have juries and courtrooms and judges and the presumption of innocent until proven guilty and due process at all, Secretary Noem? What are you talking about? So if a cop goes, you did it, let's just gulag your butt. What a moron. Cut 24, please.
Some tragic circumstances are at bay. I'd like to switch gears to due process. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of concerns about the lack of due process that your agency has been affording people in this country. In Texas, for example, you had rounded up 171 individuals, were preparing to deport them, and it wasn't until the Supreme Court issued an opinion that that was unconstitutional and that their due process rights were being violated. Did your agency actually stop and adhere to the Supreme Court's opinion? My question to you is, has those efforts ceased in your agency? Are you going to cease trying to deport people without access to due process in the courts of law and compliance with the United States Supreme Court?
Well, Congresswoman, we are following due process and using it as to how Congress has laid out to us in statute, and we are complying with all federal judges' orders
well,
as
you
well.
Didn't, you weren't complying at that time. It took the United States Supreme Court to order you to comply, so you hadn't proactively complied on your own. You were intending to wrongfully deport people without access to a court hearing, without access to the rule of law, and that is why it was necessary for the United States Supreme
due
Court,
process does not most guarantee a hearing.
Who issued
oh
an opinion...
God! Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Due process doesn't require a hearing? What in God's green earth do you think the Supreme Court meant, Secretary Noem? Here on Earth One, due process means a hearing. And, like, I'm struggling as I sit here as a lawyer. I've been practicing since 2003 to think of any situation where due process doesn't require a hearing. That's our Secretary of Homeland Security? A third grader who's taken a civics class knows more about due process than Ice Barbie does. That's what we've got. And in a bit of good news. I just... Some days it feels like I'm on an episode of Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. Turns out, yes, it's actually the real world. And yes, we need to get activated. Speaking of getting activated and in other news, there is a protest tomorrow at the federal courthouse in downtown Milwaukee. It starts at 7:45 a.m. If you don't have anything to do, maybe I will see you down there. We're protesting, of course, Hannah Dugan's, Judge Dugan's arrest. She has been indicted. A little bit of a disappointment for me. And here's the good news. Omaha, the city of Omaha, had the longest serving mayor in the country until yesterday. That Republican mayor was unseated by a new Democratic mayor. I am so happy. Black guy in Omaha. Pop a bottle this afternoon. The fight continues. In fact, it continues at 7:45 a.m. tomorrow. We do this together. Remember, I'll stick up for you and stand up for you. I hope you stick up and stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for due frickin' process. It requires a hearing.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.